ராமாய ராமபத்ராய ராமச்சந்திராய வேதசே ரகுநாதாய நாதாய சீதாய பதியே நமக. யுத்த காண்ட் சாப்டர் நம்பர் 71, தி டெத் ஆஃப் அதிகாய். தி ரெசிடேஷன் பிகின்ஸ் நவ. அதிகாய் ஆஃப் பவுண்ட்லெஸ் லஸ்டர் சா வித் a sore heart his terrible rakshasa warriors that were sorely agitated. His brothers, like unto Indra in valor, were no more. His uncles, renowned heroes of the rakshasa world, met their fate, and his wrath was something to see, and he blazed thereat. Mountainous of bulk, the holy terror of the gods and the Danavas, fortified by boons won from Brahma, he rode upon his car. Refulgent with the radiance of a countless suns, blazing together and adorned with crown, armor, and earrings, he swung lightly his ponderous bow and roared and shouted his name and deeds of valor, while the quarters trembled in affright. The hearts of the monkeys turned to water at those lion-like roars and the dreadful twang of his bow. The monkeys were obsessed with the notion that Kumbhakarna came back from the dead. Such was the huge bulk of Atikai, and clasped one another in mad terror. Like unto Mahavishnu, when he took to stride over the three worlds in three steps, his sight made the monkey heroes filled with senseless terror, and they hid themselves wherever they could find shelter. Some sought the protection of Rama, the lord of the countless worlds. Raghava beheld from afar Atikai, who sat on his car like one mountain upon another, roaring alike the clouds on the day of destruction. Wonder overcame him as he beheld the bulk of radiance and courage of the Rakshasa. He calmed the fears of the monkeys and said to Vibhishana, who stood by, "Who is that mighty bowman on his car, drawn by countless steeds? Huge is his bulk like unto a mountain, and his eyes are tawny. Like unto Lord Mahadeva, among his household gods of Bhutas, I see around him, shining in their lustre, sharp tridents, spears, and javelins. Many a weapon known as Shakti illuminates his car like unto the tongues of death or chain lightnings flashing through the clouds. Even as rainbows grace the lofty clouds are his bows, ranged neatly in his car, all around, ready strung and decked with gold. Who is that car man, that hero that resembles the Lord of Day in his splendor? The battlefield is brightened by his presence. I see the planet Rahu at the end of his banner. The quarters are lighted up by his arrows, resembling the rays of the noonday sun. He wields a bow like unto a rainbow with three graceful curves, hard as adamant and beautifully adorned with gold. Its twang puts to shame the roars of mighty clouds. Four drivers are in charge of the four horses that are yoked to the car, gay with gold and flags. Two keen swords are ready to hang on either side. They are about four spans round the hilt, and their length is 10 such measures. Red garlands graze his shoulders, black of hue to see. His mouth is dreadful to see, even like unto that of death. And he gives one the idea of the Lord of Day in the midst of cloud banks. His mighty arms, decked with ornaments and clasps of gold, resemble the peaks of the Mount Himalaya. His eyes are graceful and charming. His face, shining with earrings, resembles the moon in her full in the midst of the stars of the Punarvasu constellation. The monkeys, one and all, flee when they behold him. Who is he? And to him said Vibhishana, "He is the son of Ravana himself, the younger brother of Kubera and the lord of the Rakshasas, graced with 10 heads. Of frightful deeds and of boundless energy, he is the heroic son of the lord of Lanka. Like unto his father on the battlefield, he is ever reverent and humble with the great and the wise. He is adept of the adepts in the science of warfare. He is matchless in the management of elephants and horses, a perfect fencer and bowman, endowed with peerless skill and ability in counsel and the practical application of the four means, alliance, persuasions, intrigue, and war. Lanka rests in peace depending on the strength and valor of his arms. There is nothing he does not know in the matter of weapons, human, divine, or infernal. Countless are the foes that have fallen under him. He won the heart of Brahma himself by his stern tapas and has been blessed with the weapons of rare and magic powers. Dhanyamalini, the favorite of Ravana, is his mother. We know him as Atikai. One of the boons he has from Brahma is that death does not come to him from the asuras themselves. That divine armor and car shining like the sun were given him on that occasion. Gods and Danavas, countless in number, have fled before him. He is a matchless Rakshasa hero who stayed the course of the Vajra of Indra and the noose of Varuna by his mighty arrows. Wise and intelligent, he has curbed the pride and haughtiness of the gods and the asuras. We should defeat him before he consumes quiet our monkey host with the fire of his arrows. Meanwhile, the Rakshasa hero made his way into the monkey hosts. He waved his terrible bow aloft and roared continuously. Kumada, Divida, Mahinda, Sharaba and Neela rushed forth to give him battle with trees and peaks. In a moment, the prince reduced them to splinters and pierced the monkeys before them with his arrows made of iron. And they were utterly powerless before him, their limbs cloven and their hearts weak under the arrowy shower. Like unto a lion in the flush of his youth and might, chasing before it herds of deer, that monkey host was put to flight by that Rakshasa hero. But he never hit anyone who did not seek a fight with him. He came to where Rama was and spoke in supreme haughtiness. Here am I in my car with bow, arrow and all the weapons. It is beneath me to seek a fight with ordinary ranks of a hero. If there is any warrior of name and fame and energy among you, let him stand up to me. Lakshmana was not the man to take it calmly. He sprang at his foe, bent his bow, strung it and twanged it so that the earth, the mountains, the sky, the ocean and the quarters and the Rakshasas trembled in affright. Atikai heard it too, the terrible sound, and he of boundless luster and strength was filled with wonder thereat. Then black wrath came upon him, and he snatched a keen arrow and cried, Lakshmana, you are but a boy. You are strange to the deeds of valor. Go. It is not new to aspire to measure swords with myself like unto the Lord of Death. Why? The Himalayas, the sky and the broad earth dream not of withstanding the course of arrows from my hands. Why rouse the fire of destruction that slumbers sleepily under its ashes? Cast your bow in despair and go back. Why seek your death at my hands to no purpose? Or if you will have it otherwise and face me in fight, well, take your place. Cast away your life behind you and take the shortest road to the halls of death. See you, my arrows that play havoc with the pride of my foes, like unto the trident of Rudra, decked with molten gold, resembling mighty serpents, and even as a lordly lion cleaves the head of an elephant in its fury and drinks deep of its blood, these arrows will bathe in your blood. And hissing in his wrath, he fitted it to his string. And Lakshmana was done governable fury at the words of Atikai in his anger and pride. Boundless of strength and luster in himself, he could not put up with it. So he gave back word to word, pregnant with many a meaning ingrained in it. Hear you, Rakshasa, do you seek to achieve greatness but through words? Do you seek to become a hero solely through blowing your own trumpet? Wicked wretch, here I am ready to give you battle, bow in hand. Put forth your bravest and best. A hero is he who speaks through his prowess, valor, and manliness. You have come here in a mighty car, furnished with every kind of weapon, and that shows you are here on business. Arrows are magic weapons, it matters not how you reveal yourself and your valor. Then I shall shear off your head with my keen arrows, even as a mighty wind crashes down palm fruits. This day my arrows pierce through your vitals and drink deep and content of the blood flowing therefrom. Slight me not in that I am young. I am guilty indeed of that atrocious crime. But lay this conviction to your heart that it makes me more qualified to be your fact on the battlefield. Know ye not that in the far past a boy by the name Vamana strode over the world's three steps? Thus spake Lakshmana with weighty reasons and pregnant meaning therein. It but served to enrage Atikai the more. And he grasped a most powerful shaft. And then there came the host of the Vidyadharas, Bhutas, Devas, Daityas, Maharishis and Guhyas to see that rare fight. Atikaya bent his bow, strung it, fitted the arrow carefully and shot it at Lakshmana, as if he would swallow the broad expanse of the sky itself. Lakshmana beheld it coming at him like a serpent of cruel venom, and he cut it into two with an Ardhachandra. Then Atikaya shot five arrows, which Lakshmana made short work of lightly, even before they neared him. Then he hit the Rakshasa on the forehead with a carefully chosen shaft, keen and radiant. Like a mighty serpent making its way into the clefts of a mountain, did it pierce through the head of the Rakshasa and caused a torrent of blood to stream from it. Like unto the cities of the three Asuras struck by the arrows of Lord Rudra, did Atikaya tremble with agony thereof. Then he pulled himself up with a mighty effort, and after deep thought and consideration of his future course of action, cried, Lakshmana, I grant that you are a worthy foe of my steel. I admire your skill. You are well up indeed in the science of archery. With that he yawned frightfully, grasped his arms tight, and set himself up. He took his place in his car firmly and discharged a never-ceasing shower of arrows, 1, 10, 100, and so forth. Decked with golden bands, they hit the sky aloft under a mighty sheet of radiance and were terrible indeed, like the messengers of death. Lakshmana was in no way troubled and he cut them down lightly. Then Atikaya selected most carefully another shaft and sent it at his foe. It struck him just in the very center of his chest, like an elephant in rut, streaming all over. His body was bathed in the torrents of blood, but he tore it away from him. And choosing a very keen arrow, he chanted upon it the magic mantra of the Lord of Fire himself and discharged it upon Atikaya. But the Rakshasa made it square and fair with the magic weapon of the Lord of Day himself. They fought for a while in the sky aloft like mighty serpents. Then they fell upon the earth, a heap of ashes, destroying each other. Atikaya chose the astra known as Ishika, which Lakshmana met by the astra of Indra. The Rakshasa was frightful in his wrath thereat and shot the astra of Yama himself, the prince, who struck it down by the astra of the Lord of Air. Then a cloud of arrows hit the Rakshasa from view, only to fall back blunted and broken from his armor of adamant. 1,000 arrows of might fell upon Atikaya thereat and failed to make any impression upon him, thanks to the boon that the Rakshasa won for himself from Lord Brahma himself. It was then that Lord Vayu came to Lakshmana on the battlefield and said, This Rakshasa has been blessed by the Lord Brahma with an armor that no weapon, human or divine, can make any impression upon. So it is the Brahmastra and none other that will be effective in this case. Then Lakshmana chose the arrow of unchecked course and speed. He chanted over it the magic mantra, the Lord Brahma himself. I shot it at the Rakshasa Lord. Then the quarters, the sun, the moon, the planets, the sky and the earth quaked in terror. Decked with gold and gems, their Brahmastra came to Atikaya like unto the Vajra of Indra or the rod of Yama or the blazing fire itself with resistless speed. The son of Ravana beheld it calmly and sent countless arrows against it, keen and cruel. But it swallowed clean and drew near the prince with a mighty rush like the Lord Garuda himself. Even then he blenched not, nor was he troubled in the least, and hit with sword, club, axe, trident and other weapons. But it made short work of them and cut down the head of Atikaya, the beloved son of Ravana, with its diadem of gold and gems. Like unto the lofty peak of the Himalayas, crashing down under a mighty blow, did that head crash down on the earth shorn of its glory. Such of the Rakshasas as were spared after the mighty destruction cried aloud and wailed blind with hot tears. The Rakshasa leaders were worn of face, downhearted, weary and faint and sore with the blows of blocks and trees and mountains. They were broken-hearted at the death of the mighty chief. They cast away behind themselves the very thought of fight and victory and took their way to Lanka on the wings of speed and fear. But the countenances of the monkey leaders was bright and blooming like unto a bank of lotuses when kissed from their sleep by the rays of the morning sun. They roared frightfully and sang the praises of Prince Lakshmana, who slew out of hand that dreadful Rakshasa that came upon them with frightful bulk of body and boundless strength and valor. For did he not give them a long lease of life and everything that it holds happy and dear? Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.